When I was in my early 20s, I was living in Chicago, and I wasn't making that much money. When I found this apartment, it was too good to be true. The top floor was a duplex with 6 rooms for $775. The agent who showed me this apartment stressed to me that the landlords were very religious. I didn't have an issue with that, even if it did sound a bit ominous. The landlords were an elderly couple that lived downstairs. At first, they seemed okay. When I would see them in the yard, they would smile at me. But when they saw that I was having my boyfriend over, things started to get really strange. One day, I was in my office writing, and I hear a knock at the door. I open up, and it's the old lady from downstairs. Before I could even say hello, she asked me if I ever got an abortion. I shut the door in her face. No thanks. This was a colossal mistake. The layout of the house was a bit odd. There was a door at the bottom of a flight of stairs. It was always locked. Unfortunately, I found out the hard way that it led directly into my landlord's living room. One day I was in my kitchen, cooking. My boyfriend was at work, and I was by myself, when I heard what sounded like the click of a door. Okay. I walked into the hallway and looked around. I didn't see anyone. I poked my head into all the rooms. Nobody was there. I then looked down the staircase, and there was the neighbor lady, standing there, staring back at me. I screamed. She flinched and stepped back into her apartment, swinging the door shut. After that incident, I spent every possible moment away from the house I could. I would come back and discover that something had been moved. A window would be shut, once the shower was dripping and my towel was damp. I couldn't lock that downstairs door. Since it was technically a door to their house, they were the only ones with the key. The knocking became frequent, 3 or 4 times a day. My boyfriend and I propped up an old mattress, so we wouldn't have to hear it while we slept. The second to last straw was when I opened the door for work and the stairs were gone. I physically could not leave my house. They had been dismantled and were sitting on their porch. I called them repeatedly, but they did not answer. Finally, their son came out of the house and explained that they were doing some remodeling. He told me that I had to cut through their apartment downstairs. So I descended the staircase, opened the door, and they were both sitting at their filthy kitchen table, staring at me. The phone was ringing in its cradle. They must have heard it, but they kept staring at me with this blank look on their faces. I crossed their kitchen and left out the back door. A few days later, I came home from my job and noticed the bathroom floor was almost completely flooded, like somebody had left the faucet on. The old woman, seeing that I had come home, came up the stairs and knocked, screaming at me that I had flooded the bathroom and that her son would have to come and fix it. I was so exhausted at this point that I just said it was okay. Her son comes by a few hours later. I open the door and tell him that I needed an hour or so. He then picks something up and swings it at me. It was a massive wrench. I somehow ducked out of the way before he stumbles over. I then pushed past him and booked it down the newly repaired stairs as quickly as I could and called the police. They come by and take down the complaint, but since there was no physical contact, they couldn't do anything. I later discovered that this old couple had a daughter on the force. In the middle of the night, myself, my boyfriend, and several of his friends packed up all of our stuff into a Chevy Astro. We lived in hotels and out of our vehicles for a month, until we found a new place. That old couple never attempted to contact us again. This past New Year was my 4th year anniversary with my boyfriend. We typically don't do much, so this year we decided to make it special by planning a romantic getaway. We found a cabin on Airbnb with a hot tub, and we were sold. The cabin was, of course, the last house on the road. We had to drive down a small private road that ended in a roundabout. Off this roundabout was a long uphill driveway that led to our cabin. When we got to the cabin, it was snowy and scenic. The cabin itself sat on top of a garage, and you had to enter through some stairs in the back. When we got inside, there was a booklet with all the information outlined. The book stated that during the winter season, to not be surprised if their contracted snowplower showed up to clear off the driveway.
Alright, sounds good to me.
We unpacked and realized that there was no cell service, but there was a landline in the cabin if we needed anything. We spent the first night by the fire playing board games and drinking wine. The weekend was exactly what we needed it to be. We planned to spend the next day in town. I had booked us a reservation for a nice dinner. We were gone almost all day, only returning briefly to get dressed for dinner. Dinner was great, and we were excited to head back to the cabin for some champagne and hot tubbing. While at dinner, the temperature had dropped, and it snowed for the first time that day, coating everything in a fresh layer of white. We drove down the private road and got to the driveway. It was at that point, my boyfriend stopped the car and asked me if I had noticed the new tire tracks on the ground. I looked at the driveway, hoping to quickly disregard these new tire tracks, but there they were. We remembered that the snowplowers could have stopped by, but the issue was that we saw all these tire tracks because of the snow, and who plows in the dark? We also knew that once we were at the cabin, there would be no cell service. So we figured that we would head back into town and message our Airbnb hosts and ask if they or one of their friends had stopped by the cabin. We waited for a while in town for a reply, but we never heard back. We could have called, but at that point it was past 10 o'clock, and we didn't want to be discourteous. We figured that we had blown the whole thing out of proportion, and might as well head back to the cabin. After all, I was big into true crime and horror movies, and was probably just psyching myself out. My boyfriend drove us back, and this time we actually drove up the driveway, towards the top of the hill. That's when I noticed something. My stomach dropped when I saw the footprints in the snow. We backed down the driveway, and took a closer look to see if there were more footprints. From what it looked like, someone had drove up the driveway, reversed down, parked, then got out of their car, and walked onto the property. This property was quite large, with tons of trees and bushes, and we knew that these footprints could go anywhere. The moment we saw them, we decided to call the police. We figured it was better safe than sorry. We would just have an officer go onto the property with us, just to check everything out. We drove back down the driveway until we got service again. We then called the police, explained to them the situation, and waited for their arrival. A police officer showed up, and we followed him onto the property. The officer scanned the property and determined that there was no one there. Obviously, we were a bit shaken up, and kind of embarrassed. We thanked him as he left. Needless to say, we no longer wanted to get into the hot tub and look out into the dark forest. Instead, we locked ourselves inside and watched a movie, with no champagne. We were both tired from the day and passed out pretty quickly. At 3 a.m., we both woke up on the couch with all the lights and TV on. As my boyfriend went to go brush his teeth, we heard a noise. It only lasted a few seconds. We both looked at each other and froze. It was the garage door. There are only very few reasons that someone would need to open a garage door of a guest-occupied Airbnb at 3 o'clock in the morning. We knew that if someone was outside, they knew we were here, and they could see us. I immediately grabbed the landline and dialed 911. As I sat on the phone talking to the operator, we heard a bang on the balcony, as if someone threw something up onto it, when the operator told me the police were on their way. We sat crouched in the cabin, hoping the police would show up in time. Suddenly, we saw the police lights in the driveway. They exited their cars and began searching the property. Soon, we heard them knocking at the door. There were two policemen, the one in front of us, and the other a bit behind, still looking around the yard. I immediately noticed that the officer in the back was the one who came out on the first call. They told us that not only was the garage door shut, it was locked. Again, there were no signs of anyone on the property. We discussed leaving, but the officer said that the road conditions were too dangerous at that time. I looked at the officer who had come out to the property twice, and I felt that I deeply disappointed him. We went back inside, again, locking all the doors, and then went to bed. The next day we were leaving. We didn't feel right in the cabin anymore, and I just wanted to get out of there. As we packed, we heard the same noise. It was the heater. A heater that sounds just like a garage door opening. As for the banging on the balcony, it was just a perfectly timed fall of a pine cone. I think back on this story and I'm embarrassed, but I'm also incredibly grateful for some reason. We were wrong about the garage door opening, and maybe I was being a bit too paranoid, but the tire tracks and footprints we saw were there. For all we know, there could have been somebody out there, watching us.
Before I officially started up my business, I used to work as like a general handyman, and on a very casual basis too. I was fresh out of the county and determined to turn myself around, but I barely had 2 cents to my name, so I just started hustling with whatever I could get my hands on. And about 6 months after, I had my own van, my own tools, and I had everything except a contractor's license. But that sure as hell didn't stop me from building my business and growing my revenue. And about a year later, I was basically working on retainer for a landlord who operated multiple different properties across the city. Some were in nice areas, some were in not so nice areas, and I wasn't actually on retainer, we just joked that he gave me so much work that I might as well have been. Anyway, one day he asked me if I could fit some veneers on some old cabinets, so I tell him sure. Get the address of the place that he wants me to visit, then headed over the very next morning to get it done. The tenant of the apartment I was working on had been asked to vacate while the work was going on, so I was free to do my thing, which for the most part consisted of applying a super strong adhesive to the cabinets before carefully fitting the veneers. I was about halfway through the job when I heard the key turning in the lock of the apartment's door. I waited until the tenant was within earshot, then called out an apology for the smell of the glue, which by that stage was still real strong and thick in the air. A second or so later, a woman of maybe 35 to 40 appeared in the doorway, and she looked at me with these big, wild eyes before asking me, "Where is it?" I was still halfway up a ladder at the time, so I'm halfway turned around on it when I ask her back, "Where's what?" Instead of answering me, she got really angry all of a sudden, stomped her way to the center of the room and told me, word for word, "Tell me, or I'll kick you off that thing ladder." I start feeling incredibly vulnerable after that, so I start climbing down real fast in the hopes that she was only bluffing, or if she does kick the ladder, then I'll have less of a fall and less chance to really hurt myself. I expected some kind of confrontation when I got to the ground, so I can feel my adrenaline start kicking in as I stepped off that bottom rung and turned to face her. But by the time I did, she was gone. Gone in the sense that she was no longer in front of me, and gone in the sense that whoever I'd just been talking to was gone too. She dropped to her knees, grabbed the open tube of adhesive that I'd been using, and started to sniff up these deep huffs of the fumes into her nose. I must have asked her something like, "What the hell, lady?" and then reached down to take her by the shoulder to try to pull her away from it. But the second I touched her, she turned and there was a totally different person looking back at me. The lady that walked into her apartment had been rude and confrontational, but the lady staring back at me now looked like she could have ripped out my liver, eaten it raw, and then asked for seconds. She screamed, "Get your hands off of me," shoved me, then went right back to huffing the tube of industrial-strength adhesive that I had sitting at the bottom of the ladder. And I'm serious when I say it was like a transformation. Her eyes were different, still angry but full of something else too. She was like a mountain lion if a person got too close to her cubs, completely rabid, and even though she was small enough for me to toss, I got to admit that in that moment, I was goddamn terrified. She kept on huffing and puffing on that tube of glue, until all that rage just seemed to wash away from her. Then when she was done, and with the tube of glue still in her hand, she got up, walked over to her couch, and just plopped herself down and lay there looking all blissed out, like she didn't even know where she was. I remember telling her that I was going to get my stuff and put it in the van and get the hell out of there, and that she'd have to deal with her landlord if she wanted the rest of the cabinet veneers fitted. She just groaned at me and waved her arm as if to say, "Just go away already." And so I did. With her lying there like a zombie, I packed up my stuff and got the hell out of there before she decided that she wanted to help herself to the rest of my gear. I left her with that tube of adhesive too. That stuff can be expensive, but there was no way that I was about to risk getting my face ripped off by trying to pull it out of her hand. So, I pack up my gear, trying to carry as much as possible out to the van, just in case the glue-sniffing tenant decided to steal something. I managed to get everything except my ladder under my arms, then on the way out, I started hearing this kid crying. There's no telling how long they'd been wailing, but I guess I just filtered it out into background noise while I was trying to keep from getting shredded by that crazy glue sniffer lady. But then when I step outside, I see where the crying was coming from. There was a car, right there on the curb, with both the driver's side and rear passenger door open. In the back, there was a kid still strapped into the car seat, and was screaming out, "Mommy, Mommy," over and over again. There were grocery bags sat in the pathway to the apartment, too, like the woman had gotten home, saw the van and rushed inside after abandoning both her grocery bags and her kid. Maybe she just forgot that I was stopping by that day and rushed inside to check it out before bringing her kid and groceries inside. I'm not sure. But either way, she walked in, the smell of the adhesives hit her, and then that's all that she had in her mind. And that was the scariest thing of all. Way scarier than the prospect of getting my face chewed off by this crazy lady. This woman was such a degenerate drug addict that one little whiff of industrial strength adhesive and she was gone. Hell, she might have been Mother of the Year before she walked into that room, and then just boom, she was just right back to the bottom of the barrel, getting high all over again. I don't honestly know what her situation was, and I shouldn't speculate. I just hope her kid ended up okay, because with a mother like that, life sure is gonna be an uphill struggle.
This story happened in October of 2016. For context, I lived in Fargo. I am a 30-year-old male, but back then I was 22, and was still living with my parents and two brothers, Tommy and Andrew. One weekend, my brothers and I decided to go on a getaway that was 2 hours away from Fargo. We wanted to get out of the city and away from our nagging parents, so we decided to book a spacious Airbnb for a decent price that was located in a forest. We packed our backpacks, got in my truck, and headed over. When we got there, the host greeted us and left us the keys. The weather was perfect, and the view of the yellow autumn leaves on all the trees was stunning. On the first night, we decided to take a nice long walk in the forest. While hiking through the trees, we made small talk and generally explored the area. Soon, it became dark. I don't know about Tom and Andrew, but I'm easily creeped out by the dark alone. But being in a forest, no way.
Guys, maybe we should head back to the rental, yeah? It's getting creepy out here.
Then suddenly, a loud growl came from somewhere nearby. It sounded human, yet animalistic at the same time.
What the f*** was that? I don't know, but we're not sticking around to find out.
We then heard something speeding toward us.
I hear something heading toward us. Let's get out of here quick.
When I looked behind us, I saw a figure of what looked like a man coming out of the tree line. But here's the thing. It seemed way too tall. The shoulders were weirdly shaped. They were almost like arches. We got back to our Airbnb and locked the door, but it wasn't over yet. At around 1 a.m., we had calmed down enough to call it a night. But I was still paranoid. I couldn't get the image of the figure I saw out of my mind. Was it a man? If so, was he wearing some kind of costume? Could he be a part of a cult? Could there be others hiding out in the forest? Did our Airbnb host set us up? I got up and double-checked the house to make sure all the windows and doors were locked. I eventually went to bed, but I had trouble falling asleep. Out of random curiosity, I looked out my bedroom window. And I noticed a black dog under the dim driveway lamp. At first, I didn't think anything of it, but the more I looked at it, the more creeped out I got. The dog appeared to be looking right at me, not moving a muscle. What happened next was simply unbelievable. Its eyes began to glow red, and then it stood on its hind legs. Its stance became kangaroo-like before it took on a humanoid appearance with long, sharp fingernails. I freaked out and quickly closed the blinds. My brothers heard me screaming.
Josh, what's wrong with you? I saw something in the driveway. At first it was a dog, and then it became, I don't know, something else.
They didn't believe me at first, but they quickly changed their minds when they heard that same deep growl we heard out in the forest. But this time, it was coming from just outside the front door. Something then began to strike the door over and over again. All three of us were freaking out and trying to look for a weapon in case that thing managed to break in. Thankfully, the door was solid wood. Eventually, all fell silent. My brothers and I stayed up for the rest of the night. The next morning, we got back in my truck and got the hell out of there. On the way out, I saw that same strange dog, its eyes following my truck as we tore off down the road. Our Airbnb host obviously didn't believe a word of what we said and never gave us a refund. But ultimately, I'm just glad we made it out of there alive.